The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off apart by himself, away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord. In the Bible, any time God tells his people to do anything, you know, the Old Testament people considered that to be a commandment. Anytime you find God speaking to his people in the imperative, that was considered to be a commandment from the Old Testament point of view. And as a consequence, there are a lot of commandments. 613 commandments in the Old Testament, if you add them all up. And here you thought there was only 10. But you know what's interesting about that? Is that there's four commandments so frequent that it's almost more than all the other commandments put together. You know what those four commandments are? The four most common things that God asks of his people. Rejoice. Praise. Give thanks. And don't be afraid. Four things God asks of the people more than he asks anything else. He commands, in fact, rejoice, praise, be thankful, and don't be afraid. And that last one, don't be afraid, most common of the four. And so we're going to take a little look at it here this morning. This is an easy week for your priest to give a homily. God himself tells me what to say. He says, "Say this to my people," right here in the first reading. "Be strong. Fear not. Here is your God." That's what Isaiah says to the people when a foreign army is standing outside the gates of the city of Jerusalem, rattling their sabers and waving their torches, threatening to burn the city to the ground, and the people are scared to death. And so God says to Isaiah, he says, "Tell this to my people, all my people who are scared, anxious, and worried." Anybody here fall into that category here this morning? Don't all raise your hands at once, right? Way now. We're worried, anxious about many, many things. You bring all those worries right in here to this, right inside this church, right in those doors. People whose children are going off to college for the very first time, and the parents are home, and they are anxious. What on earth are they going to teach them there? Are they going to turn out to be okay? And then you know what really causes more anxiety than anything else in the whole world? Money. People worry and worry, and there's a reason why Jesus says, "Put your trust in me. Don't put your trust in money." They worry about their own finances, worry about the state of the economy in general, and then there's health. People are worried about test results that are going to come back for themselves or for a loved one, or they're fearful and worried about what to do with an aging parent. Or there's just the news cycle. People watch way too much news of the chaotic world, and you know, they plug in to the news media. I'm beginning to be convinced that the news media job description consists of two things. They want to divide us against one another, and they want to make us constantly afraid.
Right.
So people plug in, and they worry, and they fear. This morning, God says, do not be afraid. Now, understand. When God says, don't be afraid, he's not commanding an emotion. You know quite well that anxiety and fear, these things are not things you can just turn off, you know, like you're turning off a light switch. Some of the worst advice people ever give one to another is to say, now just calm down. Lousy advice. What are you supposed to say in reply? Oh, well, sure, I'll do it right now. I've got this little button I can push. I'll just calm right down. How do you do that? Well, when God says don't be afraid, he's not commanding an emotion. He's saying, rather, that when you're afraid, when you're worried, when you're anxious, here's what you do. You keep your eyes on the Lord. That's what he told Isaiah to say to the people of Jerusalem. Fear not, he says, here is your God. Now that's a lousy translation, I'm sorry to say. What it actually says there is, behold your God. Keep your eyes on the Lord. The Hebrew word is hina. The Greek word is idu. It means behold. What do you do? Now, if there's only one point that I could make this morning, it's this. What do you do when you're worried? What should you do when you're anxious? What should you do when you're fearful? There's only one thing that works. Keep your eyes on God. If you're worried, if you're anxious, if you're fearful, somehow or another, you've taken your eyes off the Lord. And God says, put them back. You know, like it's like what a parent says to a child when they want their attention. What does a parent say to a child when they want their attention? They say, look at me, right? Eyes right here. That's what God says to us as well. Now, just as an aside, okay, just as an aside, this is exactly what you want to say to anyone you know who's dying. Tell them to put their eyes on the Lord. Because when someone's dying, I've discovered this to be the case, they won't tell you that they're afraid. But they're afraid. And with good reason. They know that before long they're going to stand before their Maker in judgment, who's going to go over their entire life with a fine-tooth comb, every single thing you've said, done, or thought about since you first drew breath. They're worried. What do you say to somebody who's dying? You say the words that are in the Divine Mercy Novena. Here's what you tell them. Say, Jesus, I trust in you. Get your attention off of yourself. Put it on the Lord. That's how you get rid of anxiety. And there is no other way. When somebody is dying, a lot of people don't know this, one of the last things they lose is their ability to hear. They're laying there, motionless, seemingly asleep, seemingly comatose. They can hear every word you're saying. So talk to them. Above all else, tell them this, Jesus, I trust in you. I am convinced anyone who passes out of this world and the last breath utters those words, Jesus, I trust in you, I don't believe a soul could ever be lost. But that's just an aside. You know, the very best evidence of all that turning your eyes to the Lord dispels fear and anxiety, it's the story of the deaths of the martyrs. Now, you want to read something fascinating. Take any martyr from our Christian heritage, and if they have details about how they died, pay attention to those details, and you'll find this absolutely and without exception. These men and women, and sometimes children, facing certain death and often very gruesome and grisly deaths, are not the slightest bit afraid, not even the slightest. In fact, they're joyful. It's astonishing. They're enthusiastic. St. Cecilia. You ever
heard of Saint Cecilia? She's known as the patron saint of music. Christian martyr from the days of the Roman persecutions. And a Roman soldier was dispatched to execute Cecilia by lopping off her head with a sword, but he botched the job. It didn't lop off her head, only badly wounded her. And it took her 3 days to die from her wounds. She spent the entire 3 days singing songs of praise to God. Now, can you imagine? One of my favorite stories, St. Lawrence, Archdeacon of Rome, once again put to death for the abominable crime of being a Christian. And they couldn't crucify him because he was a Roman citizen, so they did the next most painful thing that they could possibly do. They cooked St. Lawrence on a grill over an open flame. And as St. Lawrence was dying, he was cracking jokes with his executioner over an open flame. You may have heard this before. He says, "You can turn me over now. I'm done on that side." Astonishing. Or the patron saint of our diocese, St. Thomas More, put to death, decapitated on Tower Hill in London for the crime of failing to recognize the illegitimate marriage of King Henry VIII. And as he was climbing Tower Hill to face the executioner's block, someone turned to him and asked, Sir Thomas, how do you feel?" And he replied, "I feel like a schoolboy going on holiday." Incredible. Now, you say, that's beyond any human strength, beyond any human ability to be able to act like that. How were the martyrs so calm and so joyful in the face of something so horrible? Well, not only were they swimming in God's grace, right? But their eyes were always on the Lord. It was their habit. Now, we want that habit too, every last one of us. And this morning, what I want to give you are 4 things that you can do starting today to build the habit of keeping your eyes always fixed on God. Okay? Here's the first. Bookend your day with prayer. If you're not doing this already, get in the habit. Very first thing you do in the morning, as soon as you wake up, don't reach over to your phone and look at messages or whatever it is that people do. Very first moment of the day, give it to God. Fall on your knees and make a morning offering. Offer the whole day to the Lord. You can use your own words. You can read a morning offering that's been prepared by somebody else. Within a couple of days, you'll have it memorized. First thing you do in the day. And the very last thing you do in the day, before you breathe your last, before drifting away to blissful slumber, fall on your knees and give thanks to God for everything that's happened in the day. I don't care what's happened in the day. It was all a blessing in disguise. St. Ignatius of Loyola says, "Let thanksgiving be your last prayer of the day." Look back over the day, ask yourself how you did, how you responded to God's grace, how you might be able to do better tomorrow, but let your day be bookended by prayer. Make a habit of that. That's the first thing. Here's the second. Learn to talk to God in your private prayer all day long. And it can be in your own words, anything at all you want. You can just say, "God, come and help me. God, have mercy on me. God, help me not to blow my stack now. Help me to keep my cool. Lord, help me to remember that I'm in your presence. Help me to act like your son. Help me to act like your follower." Whatever it is, all day long, get in the habit of talking to the Lord. You know, one of the best examples of this of all is our very own patroness, St. Therese. Here's what she said about it. She says, "I just say what I want to God, very simply, in my own words, and he never fails to understand." That's the second thing. Here's the third thing to do, to build the habit of living in God's presence. And here's something that you don't often hear said from the pulpit, and that is, learn to see God's hand in nature. It's been said that God wrote 2 books, Scripture and nature.
And they both send the same message. The natural world with all of its beauty is God's love letter to you. Learn to see it all day long. Maybe it's the ferocious pounding of the surf at the ocean side, or the magnificence of the stars at night, or the gentle whispering of the breeze through the leaves, or the tranquility of an early morning snowfall, or even the beauty of those early cobwebby, dewy hours in which nobody's awake yet, or the power of the sun at midday, or the might of thunder, or the magnificence of lightning. Learn to see it all as God's love letter to you, and he'll be with you all day long. You know who said this most notably from our Catholic heritage? Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. Here's what he said. He said, "You'll find something more in the forests than you'll find in books. Trees and stones will teach you lessons which you can never learn from a teacher." Here's the last thing to do to remember God's presence. Memento mori. It's Latin, and it means remember death. It's not morbid, that's not dreary, that's not depressing, that's just reality, amigos. Because here's the fact we always want to remember. You only have but so many tomorrows. We've got a limited number of days. And when you remember that, it helps you to keep looking up. A good analogy for how to do this. Think about a student taking a test. Remember when we were students and the teacher passed out the test, you knew that clock was ticking, didn't you? And you knew that every minute mattered. And you wanted to make the most of every minute. That's how we want to live our lives as well. Remember this. You only have but so many tomorrows. Keep in mind that one day we must make an accounting to God for what we've done with our time. That'll help you to keep looking up. In the gospel, Jesus cures the deaf man with a speech impediment. He does something very strange there. He touches his tongue. Very strange thing to do. Until you consider the fact that Jesus does that to you every single time you come to Mass and receive the Eucharist, doesn't he? Because when you receive the Eucharist, what does he do? He touches your tongue. He wants you to know his presence. Remember his presence in the Blessed Sacrament as the best presence of all to remember. 23rd Psalm, beloved to so many, has a line. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am not afraid." Why? Because you're with me. Not because there's nothing to be afraid of. And not because you're going to take me out of the valley. Why am I not afraid? I'm not afraid because you're with me. Be strong. Fear not. Behold your God. Hear it, believe it, live it, and the God of peace will be with you too. Amen.